The Guardian.
Support for this podcast comes from Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes creating a professional website for your business, personal brand, or portfolio so easy, it's newsworthy. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello listeners, producer Ben here. Now, there's no pod today, but in light of the big news from Zurich this week, we thought it's only right that we share some of what we said up on stage at this week's Football Weekly Live in Manchester event. Thanks to all of you who came along. We'll be doing more of these things around the country when the new season gets underway, so stay tuned. Now, our live shows are far, far, far too rude to broadcast in their entirety, so here are the most suitable bits about FIFA, Brendan Rodgers, and a few other things too. In a mo, you'll hear from Barry Glendenning, James Horncastle, and Ian McIntosh, but first up, it's your friend and mine, Mr. AC Jimbo himself, James Richardson.
Now, let's start with FIFA. Mountain Goat Sepp has stepped down and is no more, or is he? He's taken his hand off the tiller of the boat called FIFA. Without getting too serious, what do we think is going to happen next, Ian McIntosh?
Well, it's going to be a fairly evil power vacuum, as every bastard in that organisation makes a sudden play for centralised power. Sepp Blatter will probably try and hold on to some kind of power, but almost certainly that power will be limited to reorganising the stationery cupboard. There'll be an awful lot of opinion columns. I'm banking on that.
What do you think would be an appropriate punishment for Sepp? I got a tweet here from Michael Mayer King, who says Blatter should be punished with community service at building stadiums in Qatar.
But there have been no deaths doing that, according to Richard Keys.
He'll be fine.
So, I think you could bury him in the sand and in full summer for that and see, you know, just kick footballs at his head.
I think we just wait. Just wait until the end of next season. Next time Leicester City have a party and they make that phone call, that's who we send.
Ah, dear. Who would you like to see take over? I mean, apart from David Ginola and no doubt Robbie Savage's hat will be in the ring by now, but who would you like to see take over, Barry?
It's hard to know because basically every other organisation, or the sub-organisations from which his successor will come, are all probably as corrupt as FIFA, and the guys who will be jockeying for his position, I suspect, won't be any less corrupt than he is alleged to be. So I don't know. I'd quite like to see Robbie Savage get the gig, to be honest.
Because it'd mean he wouldn't be on our TV screens anymore.
Yeah, it's difficult to know. I suppose Michel Platini talks a good game. It'd be interesting to see if he walks it like he talks it.
No.
The man who voted for Qatar.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The man whose son now works for PSG's, well, the Qatari-owned PSG in a fairly official basis. Sorry, Ian.
I was just going to say that you need someone reliable here. Mm. You need someone incorruptible, someone brave, someone to whom we can all look for leadership. It's Tony Hibbert. This is Tony Hibbert's job. This was what he was put on this planet for.
Tony Hibbert reference from Ian McIntosh. Tick.
Union will be
the only thing
right
I can compare this past week to, because it was an extraordinary week when we first heard about the FBI charges, and then again when Sepp resigned. It was extraordinary to be reading the news, to be watching TV, for those who were in Zurich. Amazing. The only thing I can compare it to, certainly in sporting terms, I think, was when Calciopoli broke in Serie A. Now,
Jimbo Calciopoli reference.
But similarities abound in that this was a state of affairs that pretty much everybody knew about and didn't seem able to do anything about because the people in charge were the people who were in charge. And eventually they were taken down, and there was this kind of incredible feeling of that everything was possible. There was a great emancipation. And 9 years on, here we are, Juventus are back in the Champions League final. Has anything changed? Do you think, James, in FIFA, that ultimately anything will change? Or is that just the way that sport is run?
I think we're hypocritical in the West to think that UEFA are a white knight of some sort. Because, I mean, the only candidate that they could put forward is, you know, a Jordanian prince from a non-democracy, which it doesn't inspire you with a lot of confidence. And I don't think it inspires the rest of the world with a lot of confidence either, because the last FIFA president from Europe, from this country, in fact, supported apartheid, which didn't particularly go down well in Africa and other parts of the world. So, no, I don't think anything in particular will change. I think a lot of people who follow it quite closely are pessimistic about it.
Mm. Tip of the iceberg, do you think? Yeah.
It seems like that could be the case. It seems like the FBI just keep tiptoeing closer and closer. They weren't originally supposed to be investigating Qatar and Russia, and now apparently they are. So I think we could get some very, very interesting things coming out.
Right, we're getting some very interesting things coming in on Twitter. Some of these have been redacted by Ben here. Anthony Larkin, you're just trying to cause trouble. Others, though, have suggested for the FIFA presidency, Phil Neville, Garth Brooks.
And Garth Brooks.
Garth Crooks, maybe.
Garth Crooks speaks in sentences that are even longer than the ones the current FIFA lot are going to get in prison.
Right, they might be having some. They might be having some mandates where they're going, eh?
We had a couple hours to kill this afternoon, and we went to see San Andreas. I think Dwayne Johnson, aka The Rock, would be an excellent head of FIFA. Every decision he makes is correct, either by accident
Don't
or design.
Don't give away spoilers.
Oh, no, that's...
And every FIFA conference would feature lots of attractive ladies swimming around in wet T-shirts.
I'm fairly sure they already do.
That's a recommended. Well, they should be tighter.
From the seismic events in both San Andreas and indeed FIFA this week, let's move on then to...
Well, there's just one thing about the FIFA. Ah. When the arrests were made in Zurich, there was the famous... I reckon it will become an iconic image of the officials being arrested or escorted out to police cars with hotel staff holding up the white bed sheets. And I just know for a fact that there were Newcastle fans going, we missed an opportunity there. We could have had Ashley out on that.
Now, Christopher Lee says, if you were elected FIFA prez, what would your plan be going forward? Wow, does anybody have an answer to that?
Is that a serious question?
I believe it is.
Do you need a plan to be FIFA president?
What's the first thing you do when you first arrived in your office?
I want to try and eat as much as Chuck Blazer, because that man is eating. He's about 40 stone. He literally cannot walk. That's how much he's eaten.
Let me ask you another FIFA-related question. If your wheels were going to be greased by somebody as a FIFA president or head honcho, what would it take?
To grease my wheels?
Yeah.
Trip to Thailand?
No. I would want an entire football club. Just bestowed upon me, picked at random, like at the beginning of Football Manager when you hit the random button, and then just
tick.
There we go. And you can buy my book, or an assassination of my choice.
Who would you kill?
Anyone? Doesn't have to be football related.
Who would it be? Who would it be?
Well, we'll wait and see how this audience shape up. There might be someone.
That's taken us to just a put a warning level, Barry.
I think the first thing I do is commission the sequel to United Passions.
Right.
I would have Johnny Depp play me, I think. Yep. And then I would get...
Wouldn't that meanie fellow?
Pardon?
Colin Meany?
Colin Meany. John Reavy, Barry Glendening.
Maybe The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock. Right. All right. Oh, Christopher Lee's been back on. Hi, Chris. He says, Ian McIntosh, what was the Thunder Bastard of the year? Could you just define Thunder Bastard for us?
A Thunder Bastard is gets misunderstood a lot. It has to be a rising bastard of a shot. Ideally, if the ball stays kind of in the same position all the way through, so you can read the name on it as it goes in, then that kind of doubles the power of a Thunder Bastard. But it has to be rising. There are a lot of people calling the Charlie Adam long shot a Thunder Bastard. That's not a Thunder Bastard. That's a 46-year-old Glaswegian mechanic just taking a twat at something. It's not a Thunder Bastard. Sanchez at the FA Cup final was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
With the naked eye.
Now, serious questions again. Liverpool, Barry.
Yes.
If James Milner is the answer, what is the question?
Who's cheap and available? Liverpool have so much to sort out.
Do you think they'll be back in the top four in our lifetime?
In our lifetime, possibly. Yeah, I don't think it'll be any time in the next 5-10 years.
Really? No. By which time England could be down to 3 Champions League places? Just saying.
Their season was an absolute disaster, and I can see things getting worse before they get better, you know.
Why?
Well, who is going to drop out of the top four anytime soon? I think Liverpool, like Gary Neville said it, I wouldn't phrase it exactly as he did, but they have to get used to the fact that they're not a major European power anymore. They're living more on their past than, or seem to be more concerned with their past than they are about their future. You know, European Cup in 2005, 10-year celebration was possibly their biggest achievement this year, and you know that was second to none. And you know, Gary Neville sort of labelled them a provincial club. I don't think they're that bad yet, and he was probably said that slightly with tongue in cheek. But yeah, I think they have to get used to the fact that they're not major European power anymore. They're not going to be in the shake-up when it comes to buying the big-name players. And with the likes of Steven Gerrard going, if Raheem Sterling goes, I don't think he'd be that big a loss. But yeah, I think they could find themselves going down the table rather than up.
Well, I would have to say, I mean, you say, like, who's going to drop out the top four? That is a question we have asked in the past, mainly in 2009, when Liverpool came vaguely close to winning the title and then came seventh for the next season. In 2012, Chelsea came sixth and managed to pull their arse out the fire in a penalty shootout. So there are always, you know, it's really hard at the end of the season because you think everything's going to be like the season that just went. But things
can happen. What makes you think it's going to be different next time?
But the real problem with Liverpool is there's no reason why they can't get back in, but it's the lack of joined-up thinking. When you've got Rodgers sitting in front of journalists saying, no, there's no way we're signing Balotelli. And then Balotelli turns up 2 weeks later. Or the word being that Rodgers was basically responsible for every transfer that began with L. So Lallana, Lambert, Lovren. It's not really what you want to bring up in a pro-Rodgers argument. But the transfer committee was responsible for everything. They don't seem to be making the most of their resources. And any team who can look at Tottenham post-Bale and go, yeah, that's how to do it. That's how to deal with the Suarez thing.
Yeah, fair point. Joel Stein, who's got something about Andy Townsend, has tweeted repeatedly. Here's one where he says, other than in and around, which football phrases irk you the most? I really like in and around, actually, because it's acquired a life of its own, and I'd be really sad if I never heard in and around anymore.
One I really hate is when people just ask for consistency. All we're asking for is consistency. But then 10 minutes later we'll say, all we're asking for is common sense. And the two are utterly incompatible.
Right.
You either send someone off in the first minute because you're being consistent, or you don't send them off because it's common sense. And people will use consistency and common sense in the same sentence.
Unbelievable.
Killing them.
That's inconsistent.
That is.
And it's
that
certainly
is.
Not common sense.
No.
James, what's the phrase that you like or loathe most in commentary?
The mixer.
Putting it in.
Putting it in the mixer.
Really?
Yeah. It's a really evocative image. Mm. You just see, like,
the arms, like, of centre backs.
Exactly.
Flailing.
My answer. Yeah.
I hate "you feel," Barry. I hate when commentators say, "you feel, you just feel, don't you?" That I hate that. I don't want them telling me what I feel, but what
get out of my head.
See, I think what they're doing there is they don't want to admit that it's what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So they're putting, it's like if you're at a press conference and you want to ask a manager a question, and you, by rights you should be phrasing it, you know, "I think," but you're afraid you'll get bollocked by Nigel Pearson or whatever. So you go, "It's been said," yeah. Or some say. But I hate your plurals, you know, your producer Bens, your Jimbos, your Lampards, your audiences.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. With that, we come to the end of this Football Weekly Live. Thank you so much.
Support for this podcast comes from Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes creating a professional website for your business, personal brand, or portfolio so easy it's newsworthy. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.